Over the last few weeks, we have been looking very deeply into the Scripture's teaching on light and darkness. In 1 John chapter 1, John says, God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. We have looked at the fact that the Scriptures are the light to our path, the lamp to our way. We have seen that we have the armor of light, that we are to walk as children of light, and that light characterizes every aspect of our life with God, and that therefore we have to assess the Scriptures first, the light, and then be certain that we are doing those things so that we can be walking in the light. But Jesus has a very strong warning to us that I want to look at in a lot of detail. We've been speaking fairly globally. We have been looking at the forest and not the individual leaves. And today we want to go a little bit more specific to help us understand whether we have this problem or not. And maybe I should put it a different way. We all have this problem. It's just identifying which areas of life where we have them. So we look at the statement here, and it says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Now, the concept of the lamp of the body is the eye doesn't work very well in the physical realm, because we all understand in the physical realm that the light comes from an outside source, and then our eyes reflect off of that light. But in the Scriptures, it's a little different. Yes, the Scriptures contain the light. But as Paul pointed out in the Ephesian letter, we have to have the eyes of our heart enlightened. In other words, the light that enters into the body from the spiritual realm does come through the eyes of our heart. So this is not the physical eye that Jesus is talking about. The lamp of the body is the ability that you and I have to clearly see, interpret, and understand the Scriptures. And specifically those Scriptures that relate to the way that we conduct our life. And so the lamp of the body is the eye, because it is only through this eye that the Scriptures can be seen and applied inside of our heart. When our eye is good, now that word good has an interesting definition, and I put these up here, I hope you can see them. Yeah, I wanted to put them in a little different color. These are the words that have been translated with the word good. I'm reading out of the New King James Version, but many of you are not. Many of you are reading out of other translations. And so we see that this particular word eye is either a good eye, a clear eye, a single eye, a healthy eye, or a sound eye, depending on your translation. Now, Jesus used a specific word, and it would do us good to see exactly what that word means. And so I went ahead and spent some time this morning, and I developed or looked at quite a few different definitions, and I think this one really captures it. And you don't have to worry about the Greek term, but let's just look at the blueprint and think about it. He says that it is quite impossible to improve on single. Now, if you notice above, the Old King James and the Old American Standard, which takes us up until 1901, they stayed with the word single. Now, since then, as new translations have come out, the New American Standard, I believe, was 1960, and then from there on, you can see that they changed the definition. Now, is this man correct? Is it quite impossible to improve on single? Well, the Greek term is translated into the Latin as expando, that which is spread out. Thus, without folds, without wrinkles. When your eye has no folds, no wrinkles, no distortion, no ability to apply one thing clearly and not be able to see clearly in another realm, so we don't have double vision. We have single vision with no wrinkles, no folds. Then it has the idea of simplex, which means one-folded, not sine. Now, if you've ever studied math, you know what a sine wave is. A sine wave is something that goes up and down and up and down and up and down, and that's the exact opposite of what this word means. The notion of singleness, simplicity, absence of folds. So, single is the best translation of this word, although we'd have to go a little deeper to understand what it means, but you can see that healthy and sound, and maybe clear would be closer, but healthy and sound do not really capture the idea of the term. It means if your eye is able to see singly. In other words, here's what Jesus says about this activity. I see it the same way. My eye sees what Scripture says. It does not see what Scripture says through the lens of my lusts or my wants. And we see a lot of this in denominational Christianity today. In denominational Christianity, we will see what the lamp actually reveals, but the eyes of people's hearts have changed it to whatever it is that they want. So Jesus wants us to see clearly. Now, I want to give you an example of this. So let's look at Romans chapter 2. Now, keep in mind that this is how Israel saw itself. Now, Paul is writing the book of Romans probably in the late 50s, mid-50s to late 50s. And so it's been about 30 years since Jesus was crucified. So whatever the Jews saw in themselves, we can see that they weren't seeing very clearly because they crucified their own Messiah. But here's how they saw themselves, even after persecuting Paul, even after rejecting the gospel. Indeed, you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. Now, I don't know about you, but I can see a lot of folds and wrinkles here. I can see that when Jesus came to teach them the very things that they claimed to have, they hated him. Because he was able to show them that they had folded the law and they were not seeing it clearly. In Matthew 15, they had folded the law with their human traditions, and they saw it through that light, so they condemned Jesus for letting him wash, or letting his apostles wash their hands, or his disciples at that time. You are called a Jew. We're called Christians. We rest on the gospel. They rested on the law. We make our boast in God. They made their boast in God. They knew his will, we know his will. They approve the things that are excellent, we approve the things that are excellent. We're instructed, we're confident that we're a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge. If you don't think that, then you're not a devout Christian. You're not a Christian who is doing the will of God. We're supposed to look at the law like this. We're supposed to look at the gospel. We're supposed to see ourselves in this light. But what I want us to understand is how easy it is for the eye not to be single. And if it could happen to the Jews, it's happening to Christians. And we can see it. The sad thing about this is it's so easy to see in someone else. It's so easy to see this person is not really serving the Lord because, and then we see it clearly. And the Jews were capable of doing this. But then Paul says this, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself the whole counsel of God?" I may be 99% pure. I may be 99% all that I should be. But I may have the darkened eye to the degree where I will be lost. When what Jesus said was, if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. And it now dawns on me that I've spent so much time on the single eye that we didn't actually read the verse itself. So let me go back just for a second, because I don't think it'll take too long. And let's look at that verse just for a minute. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. So when I have a single eye, there's no distortion. I can see everything very, very clearly. And as I've mentioned so many times in the past, if I've never opened a door into lust, if I have no interest in murder, I can see pretty clearly why murder is wrong, and I can despise murder. But if I've opened a door, say, into temper, maybe I don't see why is anger. Why is anger in that list? I can see why murder would be there and adultery would be there, because I've never done that and I think it's disgusting. But here's some things over here, and most of us have one or two things in that list where we're wrinkled, we're folded. So if your eye is single, not just on the things that we've never done and we see and we agree with God, but more specifically in those areas where we have a hard time seeing what God is saying. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Now the scary thing about this, we're going to see with the Jews, is there was only really one thing that was making them so blind. Each one had their own thing. So let's go ahead now and get back up to where we were. You therefore who teach another, don't you teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through the breaking of the law? Now these three things are not exclusive. Like I said, you could look in Galatians 5, at the lust of the flesh, where Paul ends with, if you practice any of these things, you will never inherit the kingdom of heaven. And every one of those, we can preach against all the other things in there. But if we're practicing one of those things, and the word practice essentially means do it without repentance. If you repent, you're not practicing. Even if you commit that sin day after day after day, if you repent after each time, it's not a practice, it's a weakness. Now, obviously, after a long period of time, we might wonder about the sincerity of that person. But it's not a practice if I break it. When I ask God to forgive me, I am forgiven, and the practice has come to an end. Now, it may only last an hour or two. But what did Jesus say? Seven times in a day. If you ask seven times in a day, it's not a practice. You'll be forgiven until 70 times seven. And so there's no such thing as a practice if there's repentance. And there's no such thing as being blind if there's repentance. It's those areas where we don't repent. That's where the serious problem comes in. So the true indicator of the quality of our eyes is not all the things that we do see or that we do and we see that are right. It's the manner we do and see evil things. Though each had a different issue, the man who preached against adultery, committing adultery, the man who preached against stealing, who stole, or the man who preached against stealing and committed adultery, because if you're guilty of one part, you're guilty of all. Now, here's the point that I want to talk about this morning, because this is where we all struggle. Not many of us are dealing with adultery on a day-by-day basis. Not many of us are dealing with stealing on a day-by-day basis. Most of us aren't dealing with it at all, but we're all struggling with this one. So let's look at this. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Now, those Jews could claim all the things they were claiming, still be in the darkness. We can claim all the things we want to about being a Christian. I was baptized. Paul said I was circumcised the eighth day. I was this and I was this and I was this. We can all say things like that. I was baptized. I've obeyed the gospel. I've been faithful for such and such amount of years. I do this and I do this. But if you hate your brother, what does John say? You know, you can be a faithful Christian, you can never forsake an assembly, you can live a good life, you can repent of every sin, but if you miss one thing, it can be very serious. And that's why if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? That's why we hear sermons. We listen to sermons looking for light on those areas. We're not like those Jews whose eyes were closed, whose ears they had stopped up, lest they should see and hear and turn, and I should heal them. So he who is in the light, who says he's in the light, but hates his brother, is in darkness. Verse 10, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, we won't get to it today, but we will be able to see later that sexual sin does the same thing. And we've already seen that stealing does the same thing. And so I think I could say, without being contradicted, that any sin that we are struggling with can bring us into the darkness. It doesn't matter what it is. It can lead us into the darkness. I wrote an article on this yesterday in the bulletin. I would recommend you read it. It kind of summarizes everything we've talked about for the last 3 weeks, and yet it adds a lot of scriptures that I haven't dealt with yet. I don't hate anybody. Unjustifiable feelings toward others. This doesn't have to be the intense desire to destroy that we often relate to hatred. If we say to our brother Raka, which means you jerk, you idiot, you dope. If we say to our brother, you fool, you moron, that's a Greek word, moros, you moron, we hate. Unjustifiable feeling. Well, I could justify him. Can you justify him? There's a good reason why I'm really upset with this person. No, it's not justifiable. Whether towards the innocent, in other words, somebody who didn't do a thing to us, or mutual animosity, they did it to you and you're doing it back, it doesn't matter. That's the definition of this term. And I think we'd be hard-pressed to say, I've never had unjustifiable feelings toward others. With road rage, with the frustration of dealing with selfish and wicked and ungodly people who are mistreating, it's hard not to have these unjustifiable feelings. Now, let's talk about these Greek verbs, because it's important. This is very important in the book of John. John states absolutes that we have to understand why they're absolutes. So the word hate means continuous action. If I am continuously feeling these unjustifiable feelings, then I'm in the darkness. If I only feel it for a few moments, I'm only in the darkness for a few moments. The amount of time that I am under the power of that sin before I repent is the amount of time that I'm in the darkness. Whether that sin, again, it could be lying, it could be stealing, it could be cheating, it could be frustration or jealousy. We'll talk about this in a moment. But I want us to understand that what John is saying here, when he says, is hating, it's a continuous action. As long as that action is in effect, you're in the darkness. The PAI means present active indicative. This is the way that Greeks describe something that you're continuously doing. When you stop doing it, this goes away. So if you are hating, you are in continuous darkness. You are continuously walking in darkness. You are continuously ignorant of where you are going, which is also continuous, because the darkness has blinded your eyes. Now let's broaden it out a little bit. The yellow terms are hatred. He starts with hatred, but contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, and murder all stem from the same part of our being, that part of our being where we either love or we don't love. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. And we understand that in that context, he's not talking about a visceral desire to destroy. He's simply talking about his lack of desire to work with and help them because of their ungodly corruption. But here we see some terms. Some terms that we struggle with. Now, I can freely admit I struggle with some of these things. Maybe you can tell me I've never struggled with them at all. I've never felt contentious. I've never wanted to hurt someone or hit someone or yell at someone or manifest my disgust. I've never felt this sense of jealousy, which has led me to want to lash out or be angry or frustrated. I've never had these outbursts of wrath where I just had it up to here and finally let go. I don't have any selfish ambitions which would lead me to push you down so I could go up. I don't have any dissensions, a desire to create hardship for someone and create a strife and a bitterness. I've never had any desire to envy or murder. Practice, again, doing without repentance. So, whenever you feel one of these emotions, you're going into the darkness. And the sad reality is that sometimes you don't come out. A lot of people have never come out. They've gone into the darkness and they're still in the darkness. They're still angry with someone. Happened 20 years ago, but every time you think about them, it's still there. And if you saw them, you'd tell them what you thought of them. Or you'd look at them and think about what you thought about them, even if you didn't have the courage to say it. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, I got a wrinkle there. I can't see it. I've got a fold. I've folded that one right out. I can see myself. I'm this guy to the blind. I'm this and this and this and this. And I'm speaking accommodatively here. I'm not confessing my sins to you. I'm telling you that that's how we think in our minds. And so if we feel any of these emotions, and of course I've only got the ones that are yellowed, because actually they're gold here, but they're yellow on mine, but the rest of these are the same thing. So if you find yourself in any of these things, temporarily or permanently, you're in the darkness. And if you can't see anything wrong with it, if you don't see any reason to repent of it, well then that is, the light in you is darkness. So, no matter how much other good we do. And this is the way man is. I'm 99% good. We all are, aren't we? We're all 99% good. It's that 1%. I'm even more than that. I'm 99.9% good. Well, that 0.01 could still trip you up. There were a lot of Jews in the time of Jesus, and some of them he even said, "You're not far from the kingdom. You've got a lot of light in you." But still, there can just be a tiny bit of darkness that'll keep that person from ever obeying the gospel. And we've all met people like that. We've met people, they're the finest people on earth. And you think to yourself, all they'd need to do is become a Christian. Well, that's a pretty big bite to swallow, isn't it? All they'd need to do is become a Christian. Why are they not becoming a Christian? Why are they not accepting the forgiveness that Jesus' death on the cross has brought them? Why are they not availing themselves? Well, there's some darkness there. God didn't give the gospel to dupe people or to blacken people. He gave the gospel so people could see, but as Paul points out, there's a lot of arrogance out there. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God did create the gospel in such a way so that not many mighty and not many noble and not many... Why? Because he chose foolish things and base things and things that don't exist. Why did he do that? Because those people who were in the darkness will never obey the gospel. And if they don't obey the gospel, it's because there's a darkness. And if they fall away from the gospel, it's because there's a darkness. And if they never quite latch on and the gospel doesn't strengthen them, well, once again, there's something there. And you need to find out what it is. That light in you is darkness. There's a fold. There's a wrinkle. There's a sine wave. There's something that keeps us from seeing clearly who we are and what we are. Now, here's what Paul said about it in the book of Ephesians. He said, "No longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." In other words, there's no profit to the way they live. There's no value to it. Nothing good comes from it. As he goes on to say later, it's a shame to even speak of some of the things they do. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. And then he gives one example. There's lots of examples. Let him who stole steal no more. Let him who lies tell the truth to his brother. There's lots of examples. But in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It's hard not to be bitter against someone who takes something that's ours or damages something that we thought we would always have. Maybe they come in. I mean, if they cause someone to stumble, it's hard not to feel bitterness. It's hard to feel this person still needs to obey the gospel. I'm sure there were a lot of Jews that were very bitter against the Apostle Paul, because Paul murdered people, gave his vote against people who were to be put to death. He blasphemed. He tried to get them to blaspheme. He caused some to fall away. If Paul caused my mother to fall away and die in her sins, it's going to be hard for me not to feel bitterness. How about you? That's a struggle. But all bitterness is darkness, and it needs to be put away. Whether it's directed toward co-workers, whether it's directed toward brethren, whether it's directed toward the guy in the car in front of you who's just cut you off, whether it's directed towards your spouse, it's darkness. Wrath and anger. Clamor means raising your voice in anger. It means yelling or gritting your teeth and making sure the person knows I'm not happy right now. That needs to be put away. That's darkness. Don't talk to people like that. Evil speaking. Well, that would include using foul language. It would also include saying things that are not true. It would include gossip. Let's put these things away. So these are things that people with understanding darken. These are people who are alienated from God's life. So when I see this coming out of my life, it's a fold. It's a wrinkle. It's darkness. It's the lamp of my body not properly seeing what I'm supposed to see. Now remember, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said, love the Lord your God. And that's the whole law. And that's the whole gospel as well. So when under the influence of these emotions, like it or not, from the moment we enter until the moment we come out of it, we are in the darkness. He who hates his brother is in the darkness and doesn't know he's in the darkness. And those Jews who hated Jesus were in the darkness, and they would never come from that darkness. Those who hated Paul and felt bitterness toward Paul, they were in the darkness, and they would not come out of that darkness. And those of us who have these grudges, have these people, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he went on. He didn't have to carry it. He didn't. This was not something that he was going to leave it to God. God would make the decision. And that's what we need to do. That's what Paul says in Romans, what is it, chapter 12 or 13, where he talks about those coals of fire. If you're hungry, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. Take care of him. Love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you, that you may be sons of your Father. If you don't do those things, you're in the darkness. I'm in the darkness. And I will stay in the darkness until I repent and until I remove that from me. Only repentance and confession can bring us back to the light, but then we have to bring forth fruits. It's easy for me to say, Father, I'm really sorry that I hate so-and-so. And then the next day, I hate him again. It's like, I'm sure you've heard this before, but people bury the hatchet, but they leave the handle out so they can grab it whenever they need to use it again. That's not the way you bury the hatchet, but that's the way a lot of people bury the hatchet. That's darkness. That's a wrinkle. That's a fold. I don't see it clearly. We all have them. Maybe you don't have them in this realm. Some people don't. I haven't met one yet, but maybe you're the exception to the rule. You can come tell me after services. I don't have any problem with that stuff. But I think when we're mistreated, when There's the lamp of the body. When we see through this lamp, when the understanding, the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, and this is us, we don't have any folds. We're not in the darkness. But it's hard to live a life like that. It's hard to suffer long and be kind all the time. It's hard not to be rude or be selfish, to seek what we want and not necessarily what the other person wants. It's difficult never to be provoked, never to get angry, to be provoked. It's hard not to think that somebody's doing something with a bad motive, even though we have no way of knowing if it's a bad motive or not. Paul already said back in chapter 4, judge nothing before the time when the secrets of hearts will be revealed. But it's hard to do that. It's hard not to say, I know what you did and I know why you did it and I know what kind of a person you are. Well, you might know what they did, but you don't know why and you don't know what kind of person they are. We don't think evil. We bear, believe, hope, and endure. Now, whenever I veer from that, there's a fold, there's a wrinkle, there's a problem. And maybe I can't fix it, but at least I'm aware of it. That's really the purpose of this lesson, is to help us to become aware. Because you know the interesting thing? Even if I can't see it in myself, you can see it in me, and I can see it in you. When I do something, I may be in the darkness, but if you do it to me, I can see it real well. Isn't that sad? But that's the kind of people we are. So when we do these things, we're walking in the light. When we violate them, and I've already dealt with that point, so let's move on. So here's what Paul said. You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through the breaking of the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, and I've heard it and you've heard it. Brother so-and-so did this, and therefore I would never be a member of the Lord's church. What they couldn't see in themselves, others could not only see it, but blaspheme God because of it. They knew that these Jews were not being consistent. They knew that the law that they claimed to be following was being violated, and they mocked them. They mocked them because they could see. And this is a universal problem. So, in Galatians 5, verse 19, what we see is, I can see clearly the ones that I've never practiced, and I'm not interested in practicing them, and my eye is clear. And you can find some things in there that you can see it so clearly you'd never touch it. But then there's the other side of this, and that is if you do them, I can see. Throughout the years as a Christian, I've seen a lot of brethren do a lot of things. And I've been careful not to think the worst, not to see and understand this person's just struggling right now. Sometimes I point it out, sometimes I don't. It just depends on the set of circumstances. And so, okay, I'm going to skip through this because I just realized, I don't know what happened. I must have got up here late. It's probably Jeff's fault that I'm going to preach too long today. Now he can feel the grudge toward me. The husband-wife relationship is such a classic example of this because the wife can see the darkness in her husband, and the husband can see the darkness in his wife. And of course, if we get to see any of it, we can see it as clear as it can be. And so here's how the light should be. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, regardless of the circumstances. Now, that's a hard command. But if I don't have any folds and I don't have any wrinkles and I don't have any sine waves that are up and down, I'm going to do it. You say, well, you're a man. You could say that. Well, I guess that's probably true. But I'm a man, and so I've got to do verse 25, and that is I have to love my wife, not be rude to her, not provoke, not be provoked, not all the things we just read about love. I have to do that. Now, those living in this are in the light. There's no darkness at all. Their eye is single. But when we violate this, where are we? Well, we're in the darkness. And especially, you know, it's so much harder to see it in the family than it is to see it at the workplace. Not sure why, but that's just the way it is. So, again, and I'm not going to belabor this because, again, we're getting short of time, but there's the contrast. Which one are you in? What does your wife see in you? What does your husband see in you? What do brethren who see you in action, what do they think? They can see clearly. Sometimes you can't see clearly. But when I see a wife be rude to her husband or speak under her breath or shake her head or sigh or something like this, I know that's darkness. That's not light. And it's especially bad because if they do it in front of me, what must they do when I'm not around? You say, well, that's pretty judgmental. Well, it may be. But I think there's some truth to it. So when we violate these in our marriage, and again, the wife can see it when the husband does it. The husband can see it when the wife does it. But when they get together and talk about it, neither one of them can see what the other one is saying. Now, when that occurs, somebody's in the darkness. Now, I guarantee you, it's the one who is doing these things and not doing these things. So, well, I've talked about that. You can look at them. I'm just going to quickly move. I think we're pretty well finished. But even if nobody ever sees it, the wife sees it, the husband sees it, and we're in the darkness. And it's very classic. And if there's any problems with temper, if there's any issues with any of those things we just talked about, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, they're going to come out in the home first. Then maybe they'll come out. They'll come out in private. They don't come out in public because people know in the back of their mind, this is wrong. But when they get that fold, they get that wrinkle, and suddenly, who's getting the brunt? Who's paying the price? So I'm going to stop there because I don't want to misuse the opportunity I have to direct your minds. But it's very important, brethren. We can be like those Jews. We can consider ourselves a light to the blind, a knowledgeable Christian, and a mature Christian, and a Christian on their way to heaven. And yet, as Jesus said, if the light in you is darkness, and like I said, I can see it so clearly in people in the denominations. I can see their flaws. They can't see them. They could see mine, but they can't see their own. And I can see my wife's flaws. I could tell her every one of them, but I can't see mine. She can tell me mine, but I don't believe her. You see the problem? That's darkness. And I'm speaking facetiously here, but at the same time, there's a lot of truth in this. And when we are not doing what the scriptures say to do in the most important place of all in the home because of a darkened eye, we better repent. We better ask for forgiveness, and not just forgiveness from God. When my wife sees me mistreat her, I owe her that repentance. Now, I'm going to do a couple of more of these. I think next week we'll deal with a different aspect. I'm not going to deal with this again. But I'm just trying. We've laid this foundation of light and darkness, of not seeing things clearly, and I want to get as much as I can out of it as we look at the various areas of our weaknesses and the problems that we face and how God sees it and how God wants us to see it and how God wants us to deal with it. And so these are critical indicators because, as John pointed out, if we hate, we're in the darkness. If we do any of the things that lead to hate, we're in the darkness. If we don't forgive from our heart, we're in the darkness. There's a fold. You say, well, it's a pretty small fold. Well, yeah, the Jews had some pretty small folds too. But it kept them out of heaven. And it caused them to crucify their own Messiah. And that's the problem. You don't get angry about anything else. But if I show you this and you get angry, that tells me something. You're in the darkness. They were in the darkness. Let's turn our songbook to number 268, and as we sing this song this morning, let's let the light shine into our hearts, and let's admit freely the kind of people we really are, and understand that God will accept us. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, does not mean that we don't do any of these things. It means if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. We're not going to be perfect in this life. We're just going to be forgiven. And so as we sing the song this morning, if we can help you in any way with a public confession, with baptism, or if you just need to go home and take care of it, as this song is being sung, think carefully about what you need to do. So let's go ahead and sing it this time.